Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the bullpen. In the bullpen, she is back. Hannah Cox, brand ambassador, Feet Online, host of Base Fellow, AFB Virginia, has a remarkable and extensive resume. And we're glad to have her, even though we're probably going to disagree on everything. How are you, Hannah?
I'm good. You think we're going to disagree on everything today?
I said probably. We'll see.
I think we might have some things in common. We'll see. We'll see.
So let's check it out. We're going to talk about the dynamic of DOJ getting involved in what's happening around the country as it relates to school boards and parent conflict and violence and also threats. I don't want to presume what you know or believe about that, so the floor is yours.
All right, so I've got three main issues with what's happening right now, and they kind of go in order of importance, so hang with me. First problem I have is this isn't a federal issue. This is jurisdictionally not the FBI or the DOJ's department. This should be a local level issue. If there are threats happening locally, that should go to the local police. They're more than equipped to handle them. Since when do we see the FBI get involved over something like threats? As a woman who's worked with people in domestic violence cases and a woman who's worked around mental health issues, I promise you, we see threats all the time and we can't get any kind of response. But when school boards come and say this, within 5 days, we get a response from the DOJ. If you've spent any time around the criminal justice system whatsoever, you know that that's pretty much unheard of. Things simply don't move that quickly. To me, that says there's some coordination with the administration, and that's fine. Everybody plays politics. But at the end of the day, this simply shouldn't fall into the FBI. Second issue I have is the order is too broad. We know that if you actually cross a line with threats, if you're looking to incite violence and have an imminent threat, then that is no longer protected speech. And that's something that should be investigated, and we should all be concerned about violence. But this order actually includes things like intimidation and harassment, which actually are First Amendment protected speech. That's from Brandenburg versus Ohio, a long-held Supreme Court case that says the threat has to rise to this level of an imminent threat before it actually becomes a crime. If we're going to say that harassing people is a crime worthy of the FBI getting involved, I want to know where they were when Kristen Sinema got chased into a bathroom the other week and intimidated over her vote. And then my last issue that I have with this, and this is the biggest in my opinion, is that the FBI is probably one of the last entities we want getting involved in these issues. They have a terrible track record on civil liberties, on wrongful convictions, and on solving crimes in general. Their clearance rates are in the gutter. They only solve about 60% of homicides on average each year, and it goes all the way downhill from there. 30% or so of rapes. You know, the USA Gymnastics team was making complaints about their sexual harassment for over a year before they could get the FBI to pay attention to them. It wasn't until the media got involved that we saw that happen. We see them responsible for tons of wrongful convictions. They've lied about evidence under oath. The Department of Justice has had to admit that when it comes to microscopic hair analysis. They gave testimony in over 3,000 cases about this being infallible proof, and it ended up being totally junk science. Those people are still in jail, by the way. They haven't always gotten reviews. They have a long history of civil rights abuse dating all the way back to the civil rights era with Martin Luther King Jr., of framing people. I think they actually helped to push more crimes through with their informants than they do to clear them. And so this is not a group or entity that I trust to really come in and get this right. I think it should be handled locally, again, where we have more oversight, where we have more accountability. And as a whole, as somebody who's very skeptical about policing in this country at large, I don't like how this is going down in any shape or fashion.
All right, so let me go line by line. You talk about the crime solve rate of the FBI. And by the way, black people and law enforcement, we have always had a shaky relationship with all law enforcement. So let me make sure I qualify that first. When it comes to solve rate, because you're utilizing that as your platform to say this is why the agency should not have legitimacy. Well, their solve rate is over 60%, and the solve rate of the average police department is 1%, and the highest solve rate for a police department in the United States of America is 11%. So the FBI is actually doing much, much, much better than your average police agency in the United States. Let's talk about the FBI getting involved. The FBI is allowed to get involved in what's called a resource or coordinated effort without being the lead agency. This is not only established through case law, it's also established as part of protocol and practice. They can come in by way of invite, okay? Now, if they come in by way of invite, it actually goes along with the memorandum. The memorandum says clearly that this will be a coordinated effort with local law enforcement, something that they may have resources that others do not. And if it answers a federal question, the FBI can also get involved if it relates to a federal issue, okay? And this continued rhetoric about it being an order is not an order. It's a memo. It's an MOU. It's not an order. It's an MOU saying that we are open to the invitation. Are you aware of that, Ms. Cox?
I'm aware of the fact that the order is currently directing the actions that the FBI has taken. And just to respond to you very briefly, the solvency rate for FBI is 60% or less for homicides. When you get down to things like threats and things at this level, it's much worse. They do not do a good job at solving crimes. I'm not saying that anybody does a great job at actually solving violent crime in this country, because we're mostly focused on being very punitive after it happens. But that being said, I don't think that the FBI is somehow on a higher standard than other policing units.
Right,
I think
so
they're all pretty corrupt.
Let me read. Well, I'm glad you said that. I do think a lot of people in law enforcement are corrupt. I think it's a culture. I think there's a culture of corruption. We highlight corrupt law enforcement. I don't care what agency they work for. We've highlighted the federal government stealing $80,000 in cash from a guy through some ridiculous statute that never should have been law in the first place. He did not get arrested. He was not charged. But they can do this. It's a conversion tactic utilized to mess with people. And that's what he utilized it for. Let me read what the actual part of what the memo says. Okay, and I'll get your response. It says, in coordination and partnership, remember those two words. In coordination and partnership with local law enforcement, is critical to implementing these measures for the benefit of our nation's nearly 14,000 school districts. To this end, I'm directing the FBI to work with each United States attorney to convene meetings, at with federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial leaders in each federal jurisdiction within 30 days of issuance of this memorandum. So the order is to have a meeting. That's what the order literally says. I'm telling them they need to start meeting so that there can be a level of coordination. Now, that is a far contrast from, let's say, Governor DeSantis, who said, and I quote, frankly, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this in American history. Are you aware of any time in American history when an attorney general has directed the FBI to begin to intervene in school board meetings? That's not what the memorandum says. Or House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who said in an interview on Fox News, and I quote, now the FBI is trying to silence parents. That's wrong. Once again, not what the DOJ says, not what's inside of the actual memorandum, and it is not what the practice has been, nor will be according to those who are in local law enforcement and the federal government. So why is it that you have these politicians on the Republican side who have significant platform saying things that are contrary to what the order says?
Well, listen, I don't think you can ask me to explain what Republicans do. I'm not one. I'm a libertarian, and they do all kinds of weird things over there, okay? So I don't know why they say what they say. But
you libertarians like DeSantis, though. So let me just go to DeSantis.
No, we don't.
Let me tell you this. Do you know Trey Radel, former congressman out of Florida?
No.
Trey Radel, he was a Republican when he was in Congress. He's a radio guy. He's on Fox News often. He does a Fox-owned radio station in Florida now. But he's a libertarian and he's besties with DeSantis, used to be a former congressman. And I said this to him because none of this made sense. And maybe you have much more intellectual integrity than he did. I said, man, how can you be libertarian and be okay with all these damn executive orders? That doesn't make sense to me. Am I right on that? Okay.
You're right on that. And actually, I think true libertarians are mad. Like, listen, I want to, this is off subject, but as a true libertarian, I'm against mandates, but I'm also against what DeSantis did, coming in and telling private businesses that they couldn't have mandates, right? Like, that's, you've got to be honest. So DeSantis to me is just a mini Trump. Like, I don't see a whole lot of water between them. So that's, I know that's another subject, but for me, the problem I see with the FBI coming in, and again, what you're reading right here is according to the FBI, according to the government, according to the police. We know how these people actually function versus what they say they're doing, what their talking points are. And what we do see is we're not seeing local law enforcement saying we're overwhelmed, we need help. We saw the National School Board Association, again, issue this memo that got a very quick turnaround by the Department of Justice. 5 days is just unheard of, even for top crimes, over alleged threats. So far, those alleged threats have produced only 2 arrests. No prosecutions. We'll see if they actually go forward, if they actually result in a conviction. But as a whole, the idea that the FBI is going to direct resources to this, when there is such a small scale of it happening versus letting local law enforcement happen, I do think it's meant to intimidate people. And again, we know, and I'm not saying this as a partisan, I'm saying all the way back through their history, we have seen the FBI used as a tool, as a political weapon to silence dissent, to label political opponents as whatever is disfavored at the time, all the way back to the McCarthy era when anybody who was protesting was labeled a communist and investigated. This is what they do. This is how they use the FBI as a political tool, and it doesn't matter who's in power, they do this, and it's wrong, and it should stop. And this is my issue with them.
Let me respond to that, and let me tell you, I have a different perspective from you because I have a different set of three E's: experience, exposure, and environment. During the 60s, when local law enforcement and state governments were implementing all of the Jim Crow laws and also lynching black people during their state allowed by statute one-day trials, when they were doing these things, it was protected by state law or local jurisdiction, right? FBI got involved. Well, people made the same argument back then, saying they have no jurisdictional authority. Well, the FBI had a big jurisdictional showdown with state governments and local law enforcement because technically the laws had not caught up to the civil rights issues that Dr. King and others finally got passed, which created your statutory language and your infrastructure for FBI involvement in things related to civil rights. However, before that happened, Ms. Cox, the laws simply said this was a state issue, and the FBI got involved. And we know what happened with FBI involvement. It was more exposure. And I'm not saying the FBI isn't a roller coaster of tragedy and some triumph. So I understand your point on that.
I want to ask on that though, because what I know they did.
Let me finish. My point is that if you say, okay, the FBI is horrible, are you also saying the local police, that they've done it the right way? Because to me, you lose me in the argument if you make that contrast.
So I want to ask first before I answer you, I'm a little confused about what you think the FBI did under the civil rights era, because what I know that they did was label Martin Luther King Jr. a communist, start spying on him, start framing him for crimes, start putting out propaganda that undermined his leadership. This is what I know of the FBI and the civil rights movement. So I don't really know what you're talking about when you say they came in and helped.
Let me definitely respond to that. The FBI under J. Edgar Hoover was a corrupt organization with his henchmen. He had a select group of individuals that illegally spied on people, that put out propaganda, leaked information to the press. That is a real, or was a real operation. You also have an FBI that got involved and arrested and also charged elected officials. They were able to investigate issues related to hangings, lynchings, and they brought some people to justice that never would have been brought to justice by that local jurisdiction or that state. You had some governors who got involved in protecting individuals who were members of the Klan, but also sheriffs or a police chief at the same time. It was because of the federal government's involvement that they either had to resign or were arrested during that era. My point to you is, you can't say one agency is bad and these other agencies are good. All of these agencies come from a similar background and corruption standard, because in order to be an FBI agent, typically you've been a cop somewhere before. So you don't get immunity from that community or that connection. So if you're saying the FBI can do absolutely no good, fine, I get your point of view. But you have to also throw in how local law enforcement has failed time and time again as it relates to issues like this and others.
No argument there. I'm not trying to say that they're better than the FBI. They're not. I am saying that jurisdictionally, these issues do not rise to the level of FBI. And I think when you get into things like lynchings and Jim Crow and the mass atrocities that were happening in our country, then we can maybe have a conversation about the FBI getting involved, right? When we're talking about threats, which we've seen very little evidence of, and again, which have only produced two arrests, and the FBI and the DOJ directing their tremendous resources to focusing on this versus solving all of the actual real pressing crimes we know are going on right now, that's fishy to me. I don't think that adds up. Again, I don't think this is something that local law enforcement can't handle. To me, this is a politically driven thing. And listen, we know that school board meetings have been lit this year. Parents are mad, they're upset. Okay. And I think a lot of them have a right to be.
But Hannah, think about it, sister. I want you to really think about this. The memorandum is not a jurisdictional order. It is not that. It's being characterized as that by Matt Gaetz, by others, including Governor DeSantis. They're saying, oh, this is an order against parents. The order doesn't say that at all. If it's an order of any sort, which is not, it's only an order for a meeting. It says that we want you guys to meet with each other. We want local law enforcement to meet with the Attorney General of the state, to meet with the FBI. It's a meeting. How do we go from a letter that literally says, we want to engage in coordinated meetings? How do we get from that letter to, oh my God, the FBI is going to go after parents? How do we make that leap? How did that happen?
I think you have to ask yourself, what do you think the point of these meetings is? Why else call in the FBI? Why get
them involved,
period?
I know what one point is. That's a great question. Here's one point. Here's what we have found just doing some basic research. A lot of the people who are at these school boards aren't parents. They're literally traveling state to state to go and create. Wait a minute, what you mean, come on? That's actually true.
This is like the whole thing where people are like, there's George Soros people over there, and there's Koch brothers people over here.
Allow me to finish. I don't know exactly what organizations they are connected to. We know QAnon was involved in one particular protest, but we don't know to the extent. But we know this, that many of the individuals who are addressing the school boards or even saying we're going to do A, B, and C in way of threats, they do not live in the district. They do not have a child in the district, and they are traveling from other states in order to stage these particular protests and also violent, harassing behavior. I have no problem, by the way, with anyone traveling state to state to engage in protest. You get no beef with me. But when you travel state to state to literally threaten the life of a health director or to say that a person's family should be abused. I mean, they've literally said things like, I hope your children are abused in front of you. That's an exact quote from one of these particular individuals. That's crossing the line to me. Is that not?
No, I get people say that to me on Facebook every day. And again, constitutionally, it's not. It doesn't rise the level of a threat for someone to say, I could say online right now, I want to overthrow the government. That's not a threat unless I start making plans and organizing and there's an imminent threat.
Well,
that's
yes,
constitutionally
thank you,
protected
thank you for
free speech.
That. Thank you for saying that. Because in order to find out if you are making plans, there has to be a level of surveillance and investigation. How many times have we seen a person who went into a school, shot up a bunch of our children in our country, shot up kids, and the FBI says, oh, there were warning signs. We actually red flagged this person a year ago. We had them under surveillance for 1 week and decided not to continue to follow them. We've seen that happen, Ms. Cox, where if they would have stayed on their, if they would have stayed on their jobs, those school shootings would not have happened. But before you can get to that place, before you can stop it, you must use common sense in order to investigate and observe. And who has the best resources for that nationally, especially if these groups are traveling state to state? Well, the FBI does, all right? So you can't say that, hey, they have no jurisdiction to actually look at somebody. They do. And you don't have to commit a crime in order to be investigated, madam. You already know that. So I'm trying to find out, where is the issue with the DOJ memorandum? It's just asking for a damn coordinated meeting.
I think you just brought up so many issues. I'm glad you touched on some of this, because despite all of their surveillance, despite all of their investigation, despite everything they do that actually strips people of civil liberties, they're still really bad at stopping crimes or even clearing them after they happen. They're not good at it.
But still,
and it's not enough to say, just because the FBI has better resources that they get to come in and start investigating people. That does not rise to this level. And again, I have to ask you, if we're going to say that saying things like this at school board meetings rises to the level of threat that the FBI needs to come in and get involved, then where was this energy for Kyrsten Sinema the other week? Where was this energy when Rand Paul got beaten up by his neighbor or was attacked in the streets by?
So is your argument today that if the FBI would have investigated college students that walked into a bathroom, that it would make all of these other investigations or potential investigations? Let me say this, sister. It's quite different. You have college students who followed a senator into the bathroom while being fully recorded, and that was it. This is different. You have literally a movement going across the United States of not just parents. I mean, parents are involved in this, but you got a lot of agitators. You have people that have no school-age children in the district. They don't live in the district. Hell, many of them don't even live in the state. And they are, in fact, threatening others. They are running school officials off the road. We have the witnesses. We have the police reports. We have the here's a wanted poster of who did this. That's a problem because it's happening nationally. These things are not isolated. The movement is national.
The movement is national. I've seen absolutely no indication that these are paid actors. These people, it's a movement traveling state to state. And I have to say, as somebody who works on both the left and right, every time there's a movement like this, and I'll include the BLM protest last year, I heard everybody on the right saying, oh, they're paid actors. No, they're not. They are people rising up.
I haven't said that. I don't know where that came from, paid actors. These people are legit. These people are serious. And yes, some of these individuals, by way of coordination meetings, they should be investigated. Here's practically what would happen, Hannah, since you put so much faith in local law enforcement. The way the actual memo is written, it says it has to be coordinated with law enforcement. So if local law enforcement decides not to coordinate with the FBI on these matters, there will be no coordination. And you're right, the FBI does not have independent jurisdiction to do these things because statutorily they would have to enforce federal laws. So there has to be a federal violation for them to enforce it. If there's no local coordination, none of this happens in the first place. So you still go back to your local police agencies who are the lead agencies in any coordinated effort. What's the problem?
That's actually not correct. Oftentimes when the FBI gets involved, they are no longer the coordinating agencies and they don't have a lot of authority to push back on them.
Do you remember the DC sniper? That's not true. You remember the DC sniper?
Yeah, vaguely, I was a child.
Okay, all right. I want you to research that case because to this day, many people believe it was led by the FBI because the FBI was involved. The FBI was involved because of their resources, tactical understanding, and some know-how. But it was the sheriff. The elected sheriff of the county that it first started in, who remained in charge of the task force and the investigation. Just because the media got it wrong does not mean it's practically wrong in the application of the investigation. So I would encourage you to go back and look at the DC sniper shooting. And ma'am, it has to be done by coordination. If there's no federal law or federal statute violated, you think the FBI is going to charge a person with violating a city ordinance? Come on now.
Yes, I think wrongful. And I just can't fathom how people on the left, after the entire movement we had rise up against policing last year, after all you guys know about wrongful convictions and how they frame people, have not turned against the big government as a whole when it comes to law enforcement. I do not trust them whatsoever.
Let me tell you what's going on here. We're in such a precarious situation. I mean,
with two arrests.
Hear me out. It's more than two arrests. I have the data next time.
It's not.
It's more than two arrests. I'm 100% sure on that.
I called attorneys today to double check before I came on here. It's two arrests.
Ma'am, I promise you, there are more than two arrests that have happened. Now, the issue that we have in our community is that we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. We don't have some kind of blind trust as it relates to the FBI. We don't have blind trust as it relates to any governmental agency or those in law enforcement in particular. But here's what's really happening. This is the practical reality we have to deal with, especially as black people. We have a group of primarily white folks who are going around this country saying that they are going to burn down school buildings, that they are going to, that this is going to create a civil war. And many of them have also expressed racist sentiment against black folk. And the only agency, the local police departments, they're not stepping in and doing anything. The sheriffs of these counties, they're not stepping up saying, you will not be talking about folks like that in my county. None of them are doing this. The only almost ally we have in this narrative has been the FBI, which is sad because they're not really an ally. We would rather us to ally together as people, but you all are on the wrong side of the equation here. We can't ally with you. Y'all are wrong.
What are we wrong on? What are we wrong on? We want kids to be able to go to school. We want them to be able to get a good education. Yep. And actually what we've wanted even before all this started was for all kids to get the same opportunities that rich kids get and to get to go to schools that best meet their needs. That's what we want.
So let me tell you where you all are wrong at. You all are wrong on critical race theory, which a lot of these school board fights are starting because I got you, but that's where they're wrong at. when they come saying we're gonna fight school board members or threaten their families because of teachers teaching critical race theory, which by the way, no K through 12 educator teaches critical race theory. You're wrong on that. Texas is wrong for passing a law saying you cannot provide deference in the teaching. So if you teach the KKK, you must also teach the other side, and you cannot say they were morally wrong. School systems that are now saying you can't teach the Holocaust without opposing views of the Holocaust being presented to the classmates. That is wrong. All of that is wrong.
And you would agree with you on all that. I would agree. Why are you yelling at me? I'm not yelling at you about any of that. I'm just passionate.
But that's why we can't ally with y'all. If you're wondering why we're not allied with you all, that's the reason. And you being a sensible person, because you're in that, you're not all the way, but you're on the spectrum. So what you can do, madam, talk to your people on that side. You're right leaning, great.
They're not my people. Listen, I talk to left and I talk to the right. I am a libertarian, and it's not fair to say we're on a spectrum. Libertarian is its own school of thought, and we're with you. We don't think that certain curriculums should be banned. We don't think that this should be the way things go. We think all parents, again, should have options, and you wouldn't see these fights if parents were the ones that decided where they want their kids to go and had some input in the curriculum. You wouldn't see these kinds of unrest
rising up in communities. I'm flat out of time, Hannah. Always enjoy having you on the show, and we'll debate that next time, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, Dr. G.
I appreciate you.